annual Cascade Festival of African Films from February 5th through March 5th. Most of the films will screen at Portland Community College Cascade Campus, and two films will show at the Hollywood Theater. The five-week-long festival of feature and documentary films come from all over the African continent and include Thursday evening documentary screenings, Family Film Day, and Women Filmmakers Week, held during the first week of March in celebration of Women's History Month. Again, that's 26th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, playing Thursday through Saturday until March 5th. Most of the films will screen at Portland Community College Cascade Campus, 705 North Killingsworth Street, in the Arts and Humanities Building in Room 104. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cable Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the We Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month is A Streetcar Named Desire, showing Thursday, February 18th at 7 p.m. Winner of five Academy Awards and considered the first dramatic jazz score of a film, 1951's A Streetcar Named Desire remains a landmark which forced the medium into a new, raw, emotional, mature kind of expression. Again, that's A Streetcar Named Desire, Thursday, February 18th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. We're listening to a song by Portland composer David Ornett Cherry from his CD titled It Could Be Different. Find his music at davidornettcherry.com. Today we're featuring Shalonda Sims and her production of Who I Am Celebrating Me. It's a performance highlighting African American history through theater and dance. And in the latter part of the show, we'll talk with James Canfield, who returns to the Oregon Ballet Theater after a 15-year absence. The former artistic director will be directing his adaptation of Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet. So stay with us. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the studio are director Shalonda Sims. Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. And with her is Kyra Orr. Hello.
Hi.
And Isaiah Sims. Hello. Hello. Welcome back, Isaiah. And welcome to Kyra. All welcome to Stage and Studio. They're all from Who I Am Celebrating Me. And Shalonda, it's a performance event you created 10 years ago, a whole decade
right.
ago, because there was a lack of celebratory events in Portland during Black History Month. Fancy that.
That's right.
I would never have thought that.
Right.
So let's go back a decade and walk us through what it was like to create this event for you. I mean, how did you get that impetus and motivation to do that?
Well, about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, we moved out east. It was the beginning of the gentrification. We moved out east.
East side of Portland.
Yes. And not many people were ready for that push out. So
wow. So you really felt like you had to leave Northeast
Well,
Portland
I wanted to buy a house, and I couldn't really afford to buy one in Northeast Portland, where I grew up.
Yeah.
So we went out east,
wow.
purchased a house out there, entered into the school system out there, and they really weren't ready. So we experienced a lot of racism.
Wait, do you want to say how far east you went? Is it like?
We're far east.
Okay.
We are in Troutdale.
Okay. To be exact. Well,
right.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but basically you felt like you were the only family there probably.
Pretty much so.
And so there was really nothing going on.
No. No, and really trying to give my own children a sense of belonging, a sense of pride, and then realizing that there were other children, other African Americans who didn't really know their history, wanting to educate them and find a way. How can we get this information into the youth of today. And then it turned into
a bigger celebration.
A bigger celebration, because not only did youth not know their history, there were adults. Somewhere along the line, that information had failed to get passed down. So I felt like, well, we can bridge the gap through the arts, of course, because the arts
can bring people together.
Do that.
Yes. Now, Who I Am Celebrating Me, what does that title refer to?
Who I Am Celebrating Me is a statement. It's a question. There's a lot of depth in that title. And really, it's a timeline. It's saying, I am this person of the past, I am this person of the present, and I am this person of the future.
Well, I love that, because it's sort of unexpected. So I want to explore more of that. What are some of the African-American history moments that you chose to put into this particular production? There's so many to choose from. So how did you focus that for
yes.
the show?
So it changes every year. Because there are so many to choose from. So we try to take whatever is relevant during the time and apply it to what was and what is. So for instance, we have taken W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington, which was really the first civil rights movement. But we can see today that a lot of it is similar. So we highlight them. We highlight Sojourner Truth. We're talking about women's rights. We highlight, oh my goodness, so many people. We have slaves. We talk about the Harlem Renaissance.
All in this particular show?
All in this particular show.
Is it like a 3-day show? Or?
It isn't. It isn't. But you're going to come away really having a lot to think about.
Yeah,
and
because
history.
You're covering so much.
We are definitely covering slavery to present day.
Wow.
And there's a lot of singing and dancing, but there's a lot of information and brilliant acting and monologue.
And probably a huge cast, too,
huge.
Right? How
yes.
big?
We have 20.
20 people. Because you were here last time for the Vanport, the musical show.
Yes.
And you had, I think, 25.
Right.
Men. So
I don't know
you're working
wrong
with a smaller
me.
Cast this
yeah.
time around, right? You're listening to Stage and Studio. My guests are director Shalonda Sims, and with her are Kyra Orr and Isaiah Sims, and they're all from Who I Am Celebrating Me, which performs February 20th at 2 p.m. and 22nd at 7:30 p.m. at Portland Center Stage. And you can find info and tickets at pcs.org, and I have that link too at stageandstudio.org. Now, Isaiah, I want to bring you on here because you were here before for Vanport the musical, mm-hmm. and you know, I want to tell our listeners your relationship to Ms. Sims here.
Ms. Sims,
do you want
go ahead.
To? No, you go ahead.
Okay, well, Ms. Sims is my mother.
There you go. I didn't want to presume, you know. But, you know, she was very proud of you, actually, just before we started this show today, because you won you were both in the August Wilson monologue competition, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And you actually won.
I did.
Yeah. What was your monologue?
I chose Boy Willie from The Piano Lesson.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
It is.
What was that experience like for both of you? I'm just curious.
It was definitely off the bat. It was hard to just get into this type of a more serious character for myself, because I'm not used to being so energetic about feelings of hate and anger and belonging in the world. But I think pushing through it definitely changed me.
It was deeply emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And how about you, Kyra? How was that experience? What did you do? Wow. What was your monologue?
Oh, my monologue I did, I did Martha Loomis Pentecost from Jill Turner's Come and Gone.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And it was different for me because I'm not used to being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually kind of hard shell to crack. So when like rehearsals came on, I was just like, how do you be vulnerable? I don't know.
And you have to expose yourself exactly. in that vulnerable, exactly. emotional way.
Exactly.
Right?
And so that was so hard. And then once, like, Kevin Jones, like, when he helped us, like, rehearse and everything, once he got me open and out of there, you couldn't close me.
Wow.
I was vulnerable. I was out there.
I'm so glad that you both had that experience, though, yeah. because it's a tremendous thing to go through, especially any kind of competition, right? Mm-hmm. But something that has some meaning, you know, for both of you, you know, and such great material.
Yeah,
really,
definitely.
You can't beat August Wilson.
I mean, that, you can't.
That's the top of the line.
Black
there.
William Shakespeare.
So there you go. Exactly. So, so you know, both of you have been working on Who I Am, Celebrating Me. And so, what you know, why is it important for young people to know this history? Shalonda was telling us a little bit of what is being covered, but anyone, Isaiah, Kyra, either one.
I think it's important
that?
Because just the fact that we live in a. Kind of in an everyday where it's not being told or it's not being told fully. So when you come and you do this play or you even watch this play, it's just it's so informational that you can really get some understanding about yourself in it. So I think like over the 10 years that it's been going on, it's just like so many other things have happened in our present day lives that reflect on our past. In our history. So it's I think it's very important that you see this because you just learn so much that isn't being taught.
And how about you, Kyra?
Oh, wow. To be honest, yeah, it's super important for like people our age or even older or younger to see it because like you really do learn so much. Like being an actor in this play, I've learned things mm-hmm. that I didn't even know going to school. Like it really teaches you so much, and it doesn't teach you like in a monotone thing. It doesn't be like, oh well, for real, you know, like that.
It wasn't boring, in other words.
Yeah, it wasn't. Exactly, it wasn't.
It's
boring.
It's alive.
It's
right?
very
well, we have a song that we played just a little bit of that you brought in, and I believe it's titled Gal. What is
the
it?
Gal Looks Good.
Well, let's hear a little bit of it. So this is So this is some of the the song that that's being sung in the show.
Or danced to.
Or danced to.
Yes.
Are you both in this production?
Yes, I am,
production
for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They play many roles, actually. Yeah. That's kind of how it goes. Everybody is kind of doing a lot of a different roles.
I love this song. It's great. So I get a sense that it is celebratory.
Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, we are telling this story in a very truthful manner. So, you know, you have the good, the bad, the not so great. But we are celebrating all of it. All of who we are.
The gal looks good. Well, that sounded good. The gal may look good, but that sounded good, too. Shalonda, the website states that to date, Who Am I Celebrating Me shows has helped educate more than 10 schools, 2,500 students, 5 businesses and their employees about the history and contributions of African Americans. And that's something to be proud of.
Yes. And that has always been our goal. When we started it, we just wanted it to be a community event. We wanted to share this information with as many people as possible. We really wanted to educate through entertainment. That was our main goal. So to have been invited by businesses and schools, and even this year, we've really gone mm-hmm. out into the community. We've been in Beaverton. We'll be at Providence.
So you do short snippets of it
yes.
everywhere?
Yes.
So
you're and
really
then we do
touring.
Our main performance.
Yeah, you're touring.
We are.
Wow. So when you know that now that you've been working on these yearly shows for a decade, have you seen an increase in, you know, celebratory performing arts events during Black History Month?
Yes, very much so.
Do you think that you had some hand in that?
I hope we had a hand in it, but yeah, we definitely went from only having the I Have a Dream in January, which is about Martin Luther King, to not having anything in February. And now I think there are at least about 5 events that I know of that are happening annually now.
Well, for all of you, I mean, what's the most rewarding aspect for you to work on for Who Am I Celebrating Me? Kyra, do you want to talk about that?
Oh, wow. Most just being in it, really, just it's so amazing. I love the cast. I love the director. She is like my mom as well. What's very rewarding is that people actually take away something from it. Mm-hmm. Like either if it's a friend that's playing a part, or if it's you portraying as another character. Where I had someone where I was playing a role, and they're like, "Oh my God, I didn't even know that she did that." I was just like, it's so rewarding, and I love it when you can learn from my acting.
Well, what's your favorite moment in the show for you as a performer? What do you like?
God, that's a toughie.
Pick one moment.
Okay. I would have to say the Michael Jackson piece.
Oh, what's that?
We have a medley of
Michael Jackson songs?
Michael Jackson songs.
How fun.
It's so fun.
And you get. And are you dancing and singing in that, or just dancing?
Mainly dancing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Not just dancing. That's a favorite. We want Michael Jackson to sing, right?
Yeah. So
there you go. There you go. How about Isaiah? How about for you? What's your favorite moment in Who Am I Celebrating Me?
I would say my favorite moment would be probably the civil rights movement. At least recently, that's my favorite moment. Just because of how our society is working today, it's very important to see how they correlate together. Like,
do you see that as a correlation with Black Lives Matter right
yes,
now?
Yes, I see everything. It's like, wow, this is so not far from where we are right now.
It's not far enough, is it?
Yeah, it's like, that's crazy to me. And so I think that's my favorite part of the piece, just being able to show how history has kind of not really changed.
And repeats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so do you find that inspirational or motivational?
I think I find it inspirational, you know, just to get out there and keep doing this. And it's kind of helps me fuel why I do this show, you know, all these years. Like sometimes it just gets repetitive, like, okay, we're doing the show again. But no, like when you think about it, you're inspired to keep on teaching somebody. So, yeah.
Shalonda, I can see you nodding, and you're so proud of your son, aren't you?
I am proud of both of these
really
young people.
The show sounds fantastic.
I am very proud of them because, well, Isaiah, of course, has been in 10 years and Kyra 8. And they've grown so much as young people. They'll be graduating this year.
And you've given them an opportunity to grow and perform.
Yes. Right. And just to see I think that's the most rewarding part for me is to see these young people really take away the information. I mean, they really get it now. And that's what we hope to give to audiences, is you can understand Black Lives Matter better once you understand the civil rights and you understand
what
happened in the past.
Who Am I Celebrating Me performs two shows only, February 20th at 2 p.m. and the 22nd at 7:30 p.m. at Portland Center Stage. That's located at 128 Northwest 11th Avenue in Portland. Tickets are available online at pcs.org. You can find more info, links, and photos, as well as a podcast of this interview at stageandstudio.org. I just enjoyed talking with all of you. Shalonda Sims,
you.
Kyra Orr,
thank
Isaiah
you.
Sims, thank you for visiting today and taking off from school just to be here. Thank you so much in the studio today. Have a great show, all of you.
Thank you so much.
Next up, we have James Canfield, who's directing Romeo and Juliet at Oregon Ballet Theater. Let's hear some music from Prokofiev's score. I'm Dime Roberts, stage and studio and waiting in the wings. With me via phone is James Canfield. Hello, James.
Hey, Dime, how are you?
I'm good. It's so good to hear your voice. You know, it's been a while since I've talked with you. You have been the artistic director of Nevada Ballet Theater, and you're visiting with us in Portland for Romeo and Juliet. So it's good to have you back in Portland.
Hey, it's great to be here. And I was just saying to your co-art over there, Janet, that most people leave their heart in San Francisco. I guess I left mine here.
You
I
do. Don't really you come back. You always come back. I mean, you know, you were back here on Stage and Studio in 2010. I looked it up.
Right, with Sarah Flipper.
And Northwest Dance Project. Yep. So now you're director and choreographer of Oregon Ballet Theater's Romeo. Actually, you're Romeo and Juliet, and it's been 15 years. And I was thrilled. I was thrilled to see you were doing this. And I'm sorry we couldn't get you in the studio, but you're so darn busy. Now, this version of Romeo and Juliet is one you created back in 1989. Is that right? For Pacific Ballet
correct.
Theater? Wow. And is it the exact same ballet?
It will be now. I had, since 1989, brought it down from three acts to two acts. And the last time it was presented here, I believe, in about 2000, maybe 2001, it was in its two-act format, and I have staged it also in Nevada, in Las Vegas, in the two-act version, and Kevin pleaded with me to bring that three-act.
Really?
Back.
So we have more of James.
I said, okay.
Another act of James. Here we go.
Yeah, it'll give you an idea. It was on VHS. That's
wow.
how old it was. Right?
I mean, that's how you figure out, I mean, how you archive your choreography, isn't it? Through video?
That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, because I don't understand. I don't know how you would even remember it in your head, you know, after all these years. I guess what makes your Romeo and Juliet stand out from other versions? What kind of Canfield-esque things did you add to it?
The one thing that I just have a bone of contention with in all story ballets is when there is meaningless gesture. And Romeo and Juliet and Shakespeare in general is so detailed. He chose words wisely, and when you are that definitive about what you want to say and how it is to be said. It's the same thing in my approach to Romeo and Juliet. It's not about just doing a step or a gesture. It has to come from some place within your character and have a meaning, or else it just looks like a bunch of nothing.
Well, I think that's what really signifies your work, is that emotional, you know, weight to it, you know, as well as a lot of kind of newer stuff, the edgier stuff, which I love.
Theater should move audiences.
Exactly.
And Shakespeare's tragedy of Romeo and Juliet, if it doesn't, then something, you know, has gone wrong. So I approach the dancers as actors, that the steps are less significant than what they're saying with their body as far as narration goes.
So it's more theatrical.
Yeah.
I also love that Juliet is being performed by principal artist Xuan Cheng, who danced Cinderella last season. So that's exciting, too.
Yeah, it's her Prokofiev career, right?
Right. The leading lady. There you go. Now, will it be part of Oregon Ballet Theater's repertoire from now on, do you think?
Excuse me. That's up to Kevin. Kevin Irving, the new director here, he's been so welcoming, warming, and supportive of my return here to work with the company and present the work that I had created here. So I can't imagine that something or this might not be in the future, but for now it's where it is, and it's what he's asked for, and I'm just elated to be doing it for them.
Well, as you said, you left your heart in Portland, so
yep.
You know, you have to come back. You do come back quite often, so I was going to ask you what's it like to be back in Portland, but it's probably like home to you.
Well, it is, but the only thing is, it is a drastic difference from sun and warm to wet and rain all the time. That's the only thing that, you know, it's like, oh, if it could just be sunny here a little more. But I miss Portland, and it's grown up. Wow, is all I can say.
What do you think are the biggest changes for you?
I don't know where I am half the time.
Really? Has it developed that much from your perspective?
The lower division, I couldn't believe what had gone on there. Williams Avenue, just so much. You know, even the face of the Burnside Bridge, with where Baloney Joe's in my day used to be, and now there's these high rises. So just architecturally, and there's a you know, South Waterfront where we're working now, there's some major changes that have gone on since I've been here, and I just have to reconnect myself to exactly where I'm standing, and I went to look for Pock Pock on Division, and it was the only restaurant that was kind of like the first kind of cart restaurant and house thing. I couldn't find it, and I was like, what are all these apart? I'm on the wrong street. So, no, it's amazing. The Pearl District, and it's just going nuts, and a lot of people want to live here, and I think that has its advantages and its challenges.
It's got major challenges as well. My prior guests had talked about gentrification and displacement, and those are pretty big issues here, you know, because of all the changes. But it's so good to have your perspective to talk about it. What's the Las Vegas performing arts scene like for you?
Very different than here.
Yeah?
Yeah, we have all kinds of experts come in and address the organization for strategic planning and different projects that we're doing. And my last question is, does that city have a strip? Because the biggest challenge there is not only identifying who the local community is, because it's very transient, and it's always working. So, and it has the strip, which is very competitive. The entertainment in every field is just unbelievable and constant there. So there's a lot of competition for the dollar, whether it's a Broadway show or a show or Britney Spears or, you know, Olivia Newton-John or J-Lo coming in. It's just constant like that all the time. And then you look to the local market, which is, you know, who is our community, and it's very different. And it took me 2 years to realize what it was. I was going home one night after an event, and it was about 11:20, and I was like, oh my gosh, what is all this traffic? Then I realized there's three rush hours there. So unlike most communities where it kind of, the sidewalks roll up at 5 or 6 o'clock and everyone goes home and eats. And as a community, we go to theater, we go to opera, music, and of course ballet or a book reading or an art walk. They don't really do that in Las Vegas as a community because they're constantly around the clock.
Well, I was just, you know, 10 years ago, I did a series called Crossing East, which is an Asian American history series. And Nevada was really, the Nevada Public Radio really wanted it because they said there was a large Asian community there. So I don't know if there still is, but it'd be great to connect with it.
Well,
you know?
It's because of the association and with Dubai and Macau.
Well, there you go. Well,
and they really focus on marketing to the Asian populations.
Wow.
I think there's probably more Hispanic than Asian, but it's a great Chinatown there and
wonderful
restaurants and really, you know, it's pretty significant.
Know your community, and that's what I've really respected about your work here is that you really connect with audiences. And I have to say, I miss your Dark Side of the Moon, and I wish I could see that again. You really took risks with ballet in my mind and pushed it forward, and I'm looking forward to seeing your work again with Oregon Ballet Theater. In like 30 seconds, what's your favorite part of working on this ballet again?
Just seeing everybody and knowing that dance is still alive and flourishing here, not just at Oregon Ballet Theater, but within the community. And I always said that no matter what I had to do, I wanted to make dance important in people's lives, and that thread is still continuing. So that makes me really happy.
Well, and I'm happy to talk with you today.
And you've been very supportive from the very beginning, and I appreciate that as well, Demay.
Always.
And KBOO Radio. So thanks to all of you over there.
Thank you. Thank you, James Canfield. So great to talk with you again. Have a brilliant production.
And we'll see you soon.
Okay,
thank
take
you.
Care.
Thank you for the time. Bye-bye.
Romeo and Juliet, directed and choreographed by James Canfield, runs February 27th through March 5th at Portland's Keller Auditorium, located at 1111 Southeast Broadway in Portland. For more info, you can get tickets, and you can also get tickets at obt.org. And I have all this info at stageandstudio.org. And we have a pair of tickets to offer to James Canfield's Romeo and Juliet for a basic membership to KBOO. A basic membership. You can get a pair of tickets to any night of Romeo and Juliet. If you call now, 503-231-8032, 231-8032, pick up a pair of tickets for a basic membership. membership to KBOO. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to engineer Janet Anderson. And oh, before we go, I just wanted to do a shout out for Portland Actors Conservatory presenting Sense and Sensibility. And you can find out more about that. It runs to February 28th. And find out more at actorsconservatory.com. I'll have the show later online today at stageandstudio.org. Like us on facebook.com/stage_studio. And tweet me at @stage_studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Happening 2016, a homegrown music forum taking place February 27th from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Apano Jam Space in Portland. Happening 2016 will be an exploratory conversation about how the music scene works in Portland and how artists, professionals, and supporters shape the scene. Panelists include Simon Tam, Jenny Logan, DJ Cliff, and will be moderated by Rebecca Miller. Again, that's Happening 2016, a homegrown music forum taking place February 27th from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Apano Jam Space, 8114 Southeast Division Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Andy Warhol looks at screen.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Phil Sylvester. He's an artist whose main